And on the phone with us now, we have Julie Newman from the Network of Concerned Farmers. How are you going, Julie?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alan.
Now, the Network of Concerned Farmers is an Australia-wide network of conventional and organic farmers who are concerned about the economic, environmental and social impacts of genetically modified crops. And your website is www.non-gm-farmers.com. And it's an excellent website with so much information about GM crops. And nice work there.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's certainly taken a lot of work.
Yeah, I know there's lots of news and information, also the aims and objectives of your group, and yeah, it's highly comprehensive. Ray's got some questions.
Julia, how do you get involved in this sort of anti-GM campaign? Because before you were telling me that when you first heard about GM, you were quite pro, and you didn't really have any complaints about it, and then over a period of time, you obviously sort of came to a realisation that there was something wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you believed what they told us, it was going to just be the bee's knees. It was going to solve all the problems for farmers. So I was like everybody else and thought, well, I can't wait for these to come in. And I did some homework. And it's one of those things, the more you know you don't know. Mm. So it's become, that's been the driving force, is just to know as much as I can about this particular topic, because everything we were told was wrong. It's not, definitely not going to be beneficial for us or consumers or anybody except for the companies that own the patent.
So once again, it's about corporate interest and corporate control of information other than the reality of actual people who are going to be eating these frankenfood, as I hear them called.
Yeah, absolutely. The misleading information is rather disgusting, and that's why, well, I don't like the term activist, but because it sort of conjures up all sorts of images, but there are a lot of people that are activists for a very good reason on this issue. We're told that GM's more profitable for farmers, and it's definitely not. We're told that food is rigorously tested for health, and it is not. We are told that farmers and consumers will be able to avoid GM crops and food, and we will not. And we're told common law will address unfair liability. And that's where our group has come in, and it's certainly not, because if risks are not managed, this could actually be the biggest threat to food and cropping that we've ever faced.
Hey, Julie, it's Brian here.
Yeah, hi, Brian.
This liability issue, the GM companies such as Monsanto and sort of Bayer don't actually have any liability for the consequences and contamination of the GM crops that they sell?
No, that's quite bizarre, and that's our debate. We're just a group of farmers that just want, just don't want to be impacted negatively by a crop, GM crop that we don't want and don't need. Mm. Now, contamination will happen because we can't control nature, and nature definitely will allow contamination to happen. So the non-GM farmers are expected to pay for the economic loss caused by GM introduction, which is bizarre because the non-GM grower is very aware. We want to market the food. We market a food crop, and consumers don't want GM. So if we're to sell to you a non-GM product, that's got to be, legally, we've got to sign guarantees that there is no GM in it, so that if there is contamination down the track, it's going to be our fault. And any rejection of the market from any testing that's come up with having GM in it is going to cause a rejection of that crop, and that comes out of our pocket. It's just ridiculous.
I suppose that's the whole thing, isn't it? The interesting thing about GM crops is the spillage from one crop to another. And that can't necessarily be controlled. I was reading somewhere today the 128-kilometre distance between one crop zone and another.
There's actually a number of factors that can that will cause contamination. Just with the windstorms, for example, we had windstorms going from West Australia right over to East. Huge, big. Remember those big dust storms in 2001?
Yes, vaguely. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Well, some farmers, that was at harvest time, and some farmers went to harvest their crop, because what we do with canola is we cut it down and it lays in the paddock, like a bit like a paddock full of newspapers, one puff of wind and it's gone, and it disappeared out of the fence. So farmers went in to harvest their crop, and the entire canola crop had gone. So how are we going to control this?
Mm.
It's just impossible. But it's not just canola in canola that's going to cause the problem, but we're actually going to have an impact. It's going to have a ripple effect into all the other industries like honey and poultry and milk and meat and feed grain and barley. Even half of our wheat exports can't have any trace of GM canola in it. Now, we're talking about a $12.25 billion industry a year.
The canola industry?
No. No, this is the impact on other industries caused by a handful of canola farmers that might want to grow GM because they believe the hype. And that can be the ripple effect. The canola industry is about $555 million. But $12.25 billion a year it could impact on. But we want to market what consumers want, and it's certainly not GM crop. So what we're saying to government, that's why we're lobbying, is to say it shouldn't be up to the non-GM grower to try and keep GM out. It should be up to the GM industry to keep it in. And all the liability should be on those that own the patent, which is Monsanto or Bayer Crop Science. It's their product, and the only way you're going to slow a juggernaut is by making those responsible for pushing it responsible for the damages. That's what we're working on. Luckily, we've been able to have a bit of success there.
I guess with this global free market and more power being given to corporations and taken out of agriculture and the local farmers or just the community in general, how important do you think it is, like grassroots organising as you're doing and as many other people throughout the world are doing when it comes to campaigns like the GM campaign? I mean, is this our only sort of resistance?
Absolutely, it is, because when you look at, if somebody wants to get something in that's controversial, and that's what's happened in Australia, these companies have got, you know, very professional PR people. So they've targeted the politicians, they've targeted the media, they've targeted the farm lobby group, the scientists. They've been donating money into universities to get the researchers on side, and they've got given the researchers and scientists a promise that they can make a lot of money by having a patent over a crop, and that encourages corporate investment. And the government, of course, is under a lot of pressure from the United States because they've messed up their backyard with having GM in, and they're getting a major consumer rejection to their product. So there's a whole lot of pressures, and particularly with the farmers believing the misleading propaganda, so that's what's driving it, is there's all the pro-GM industry saying, oh, the farmers want it. But they only want it because they believe the misleading propaganda about it. And that's the same with governments. If you actually laid down the truth, but it's very hard to get it heard. So unfortunately, that's where activism comes in, is because we're in a situation where if you're suppressed, most people only bite when they're trodden on. And if you're trodden on, you have to yell fairly loudly to be heard. And if you can do your research, unfortunately, you've got to know so much more than what you're debating, because so you really do need to spend the time to do the research. If you get the cold, hard facts and laid on the table, they really can't turn back. You've got to be very proactive, though. You can't stand back and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You've got to do it before it happens and preempt what's going to happen. And I think that's the key with activism, is that we're just normal people and we just don't want to be trodden on, and you've got to yell and you've got to insist. Don't get bulldozed. There's a lot of money involved.
You briefly mentioned some of the successes that you actually did have. You're referring to some of the state governments putting moratorium on GM trials?
Yes, that was great, because we knew that the federal government, particularly with the regulator that's in place, is very pro-GM, so we knew the federal government was really just a rubber stamp on GM just to let it in. There wasn't anything in the regulation that would have stopped it, really. The health testing is, I always thought the health issue was minor, but when you actually look at what they're testing for health, they're certainly not going to find anything. You get the GM company themselves, for example, Monsanto and Bayer Crop Science are the ones that actually do the health testing. And the oil, the part that consumers eat, isn't even tested. So you're looking at some pretty lackadaisical assessment, and yet we're all told it's thoroughly tested. And is the meal itself, not the oil, the meal, so you squash the canola seeds and half goes into the meal and half is oil. So the oil's not tested and the meal is usually fed to stock. And the testing that has been done is just for a few weeks for impact on stock. Now, if you take Roundup Ready canola, they've found that there's an increase in liver weight by 12 to 16%. Well, consumers want to know why. you have an increase in liver weight, that generally means there's something, a toxin, you know, like an alcoholic has an increase in liver weight because they spend all their life drinking alcohol. So we really should be doing more than what's being done at a federal level. But luckily, states have the role to assess economics. And because of that, we lobbied hard and got the ability to call GM-free zones. And we've been able to extend those zones right through to states because it would have been too expensive just to have one zone. And you wouldn't have been able to manage a small area anyway. So all of the states have extended their GM-free zone right to the borders.
So how many actual GM trials are taking place in Australia at the moment?
There's now trials. Well, they call them trials, but they're not actually trials. What happened when the federal regulator approved GM crops, they withdrew our guarantee of a GM-free status. Mm-hmm. So now it's up to our industry to prove it's GM-free. So that's what the federal government did to us. They just declared Australia now GM, except now we've got each state GM-free. So with the trials, there's on the varieties that have been approved, the restrictions have to be in the state legislation. Now, they're trying to get bigger and bigger areas and trying to convince the state government and the farmers that it's okay because they've always grown trials. But it seems to be a deliberate attempt to cause contamination because they're not trials to do anything. They're actual trials to bulk up seed to send back to Canada to our opposition.
Yes.
And yet we've got to put up with all the market loss there. Now, that's not really very fair, is it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, contamination. We're going to be liable because a company's decided that they're going to use Australia to try and contaminate us and send the seed over to Canada.
Yeah, it's an increasingly global situation and something that it's good to hear from a local level, some kind of activism coming from farmers. You mentioned on the website, it says, hardly a week has gone by where I have not been vehemently attacked in the rural media by pro-GM activists. Is that still the case, Jill?
Oh, yes. It's still constant. Not only in the media, it's I've just returned from Grains Week because I'm actually Vice President of the WA Farmers Federation Grains Council.
Oh.
So it's taken a lot of hard work on a number of issues to get to that stage. And you would think at that stage you would be dealt with some sort of respect, but because of this issue, because I seem to be denting pride, I'm treated like a
crazy hippie.
A crazy hippie, which is bizarre because we're one of the largest farmers around and we've also got one of the largest seed grading factories in the state, and we did contract crop spraying for some time, so you're not your average greenie. Although I definitely, with this debate, I've come to respect activism so much more because activism is for a purpose. There's genuine concern, and people wouldn't go to all this trouble without that.
Yeah, well, that's the whole tone of this show is about people, when they see something, they stand up and speak out about what is wrong, and that's all activism is really, I suppose, is just acting up about something.
Yeah, and the image of what is being painted is actually the image that PR company of these big corporations are paying to get. So we need to have a bit more of an understanding that activism is very good for the community because it's a little bit of a whistleblowing on these big corporate companies because they actually have no, anyone that's seen the corporation. That's actually their legislative responsibility is to return money back to the shareholders. And it doesn't matter if they break the law because their first priority is to return money to the shareholders. That means that they can do anything that's illegal, providing it's going to be better for the shareholders.
Isn't that lovely? Yes.
Now, that's not right, and that really should be changed because that's where a lot of the problem is, where health and environment and treading on anyone and everyone is the norm, and it's really not accepted, and you'll get more and more people willing to dedicate their life to try and fight this kind of injustice because we've got to look at the next generation. And if we just stand by and get steamrolled like this, it's ridiculous. This with the GM debate, this is about corporate control of the food chain. So they own the product. So companies like Monsanto, they own more than 90% of the GM products. They've actually admitted that is their aim, is to have corporate control of the food chain, or the company announced that in one of the biotech conferences. Now that's quite scary.
Yeah, it's a trend by corporations, so it seems, especially in the last 20 years or so, to absolute market control of everything, every possible avenue in the profit making.
That's right, and they're trying to restrict farmers' rights to replant our own seed, and that means that we have to buy new seed every year, and it just happens that they're trying to form monopolies over the seed companies. And GM crops have a patent rather than the ordinary plant breeding rights, so they own it, and they tell the farmers how to farm it, and they own it from paddock to plate. And in order to get that patent, they've just gone through the GM process, which doesn't seem to be... I think it's out of the lab too early. Really, it's...
It's a very fresh industry, really, when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, but when you look at the changes that they're doing... This means more assessment than what's been done. And it's certainly not precise. Only about one in a million actually work when they do the technique. So everything we've been told about it seems to be wrong. It's bizarre. I've never seen anything like it. Usually you get a few whoppers, but this is constant.
It's their job to lie.
Absolutely. Yes, it is a lie. It's gone beyond misleading. It's just downright... a lot of the issues are just absolute lies.
Okay, well, Julie, thanks. We're going to run out of time. We've got a few more things to put on the show tonight. But thanks heaps for your time. And I suppose if listeners want to get more information, they can go to the website.
Yes, that's great. Do a search for Network of Concerned Farmers.
With lots of information.
Thank you very much, Ray and Alan and Brian.
No worries.
Thanks for coming.
Good.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to Perth Indie Media Radical Radio.